about his presentation. No thanks. It was not done out of greed. It was done righteously. So the majority of the world followed the Vedic injunctions. So if anybody asked a question, they could answer like that. But we should not give unnecessarily opportunity for people to catch us. That is on the mic. Vedas that you can say that modern man is interested in. Listen, thanks. One thing, yeah? Yeah. What is so special about Ayurveda? How is it superior to allopathy or anything else? No side effect. Yeah. Everyone knows that even if you eat a wrong medicine, Ayurveda also still, you know, ultimately it goes to the benefit of the body. Like herbs and other things, they won't harm. And people are convinced about it. And that can be seen in the modern times. How do you find, based on this, there are toothpaste. People want to increase their age. Kavanaprash. Kayakalpa. Kavanaprash or Kayakalpa. Medicine. That is also. For increasing memory and intelligence, Shankapush. Cosmetics, very important. Because Ayurveda gives such cosmetics, which can keep you young looking. That is separate category. Yogasana, they don't come as a part of Ayurveda. They come separately. Another thing. I'll be coming to that. So we can see modern man practically using so much of Ayurveda. You know, you can see that. And man is convinced. You know. There are many, many products. Also, there are, you know, practical medicines like, you know, this lotus water is there, you know. You know, that is used for the eyes. You know this Kailash Jivan? You know, it's used for cooling of the eyes, other things. You know, which have no side effect, which is very beneficial to body. In fact, they enhance the health. Body health. So the Ayurveda is very relevant for the modern man. Then what else? Vastu Shastra, very correct. Vastu Shastra is so relevant that in Canada they demolished the millions and millions of dollars building totally, and they have reconstructed it now according to Vastu Shastra in Canada. You may wonder why. Because they said when they made that building, somehow or other there was absolutely no profit, and different part of the bungalows were different part of that bungalow was getting damage and accidents. Like in Bombay there is one in Tough Parade, you know, there is a building even today. Till now 5 times the building was burnt by fire. Same building again and again. It was burnt first floor, then second floor, then the 5th floor, and it's a big building. And once I was passing in the street, I saw that they were saying this is the 5th time it is being, you know, it's having a fire accident. Can you imagine? Like that. So, modern man is realizing that if you don't build according to Vastu Shastra, you know, they have different corners. Northern corner should have, you know, one thing, and then eastern corner, western corner, all these things. It's called as Agni. Agni should be here, water should be here, and all those things. So, modern man has taken it very seriously. Many, many big, bulky volumes are published on this, Vastu Shastra. Jyotish. What do you call it? Astrology, yeah. It's a big field also now. And astrology can predict many things. Actually, based on astrology, people's natures, people's, like for example, you know, marriage fixing, many people are doing. Which are prediction? Business. And investments. People will go for this. Etc. So interest, you can say, not a very serious thing. Interest, people say, yeah. It's not directly relevant. It is true. But how many people are using Vedic mathematics directly? See, we don't want to just prove to the modern man that Vedas are true. We want to show that in modern times how the Vedas are being used practically. How much Vedic mathematics people use? No. They have a subject they teach, but it is not practically used. The sutras are, nobody memorizes the sutras and you know, directly it's not used. But in Vedic mathematics you can show that, you know, you can solve a very complex problem in a very easy way that they show. But you know, Vedic mathematics they know now is very primitive, very little, they know. It was very vast in the Vedic times. But I am talking about even the astronomy is not so much directly used. You know? So we should talk of things that down to earth practically used. Yoga, we can say. You know? Vedic times, yoga. In yoga there are many fields. Why they use yoga? First of all, good health. Yoga for good health. They have found out that yoga is very important for good health. Then, why? What else? For living long and curing diseases like back pain. Not only back pain, constipation. Constipation, some of you can say. Very famous now. And then meditation. Meditation and chanting. Fifth field now, there is so much of talk going on. What? How does the modern man benefit? Stress management, is it? You want to do management, stress management, mind control and peace of mind. Deep. See, they are using technology is now used like things like acoustics. They take from the Vedic information, structures. Acoustics is sound. There is a lot of information available in the Vedas about how to, you know, without using any audio system, you can have a big building and you have such construction that, you know, you don't need a mic only. You can start. There are structures mentioned. Reiki. That's also true. That will come along with yoga. Yeah, Reiki. Reiki healing. Reiki is a healing method which is practically proved method. Like, you know, if you have a sickness, for example, so they move the hands in particular parts of the body, you know, the head and body. So there are some rays emanating from our body by which you can, you know, treat them to make you healthy. Yeah, that's true. Organic farming, yeah. This is a big field now because whole America wants organic food now everywhere. Because, you know, people are realizing the modern fertilizer food, you know, that causes death very soon, person dies. They want organic food to keep a healthy body. This is a big field, how to do organic farming, natural. Values, most important, value education. Development. Vedas have oceanic information. And why is this value education is needed? To control crime, first of all. Modern man has got so much into crime now. To control crime rate. To control suicide. It is said, America has become so advanced technologically that now they can do lot of things within a short time using machines. So they have a lot of leisure. But what are they doing with the leisure time? They go to the top and commit suicide. Yeah. So to save them from suicide, they need values. Control crime rate, control suicide, and to speech, dignity, respect, dignity, respect for one another, etc. And also here comes business ethics also, business ethics, which is very important in companies now. See, man feels, anything more? Simple living, high thinking. We can talk about that also. Because people are thinking that city life is, we can compare city life and village life. Simple living, high thinking. High thinking has not yet been given so much importance. They want to begin with simple living. Later on they'll come to high thinking. Our communities are very much appreciated with the modern man. The modern man also, after getting totally frustrated in city life, when he goes to farms, he feels so much close to nature. No? So much, even we can see that actually, our experience. Yeah. We can show that. So, these are all things which are so relevant to the modern man's life. That means, the Vedas are interwoven in modern man's life. You can't say that, we have rejected the Vedas, and we don't believe in the Vedas. You can see that. If you don't believe in the Vedas, then why do you accept all this? Where are these things coming from? Is there any one of these things which has been found by scientists or started by scientists? None of this. Everything comes from Veda. So, anything more? Yeah. Arthashastra and Nitishastra, that's very discipline. Arthashastra and Nitishastra. In Shastra about politics. Things now. So besides this, we can also tell many, many things which are given in Your Best Friend and other places. But the idea is, because modern man's consciousness is so low, when you talk of the Vedas and you have to surrender to God and all, immediately they try to escape. Saying that, how can Vedas be relevant in the modern times? So when you talk of Vedic, the relevance of Vedas in the modern times, you could show something like this, some of this, you could show. And then, this forms a foundation. Put a very firm foundation, a stone foundation. Whenever you want to erect a building, you have to first put a foundation. Without that, there is no scope of having a building. First is a foundation. So you have to put a foundation. After that, what is the building that we want to develop? Can I erase this? Vedas are certainly relevant for the modern man, and modern man is using Vedas in various ways. So the people, the audience is convinced, yes, now the Vedas are relevant in our life and we are using many, many things. But what is our motive behind giving this lecture on Vedas relevant today? So you want them to use Chandrika soap and be happy? Or what do you want? What do we expect? So God has
to convince people that all these things are actually given, coming from the Vedas, and Vedas are the word of God.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's a goal, prime goal of life, to accept the God's help for every living.
Yes. So now, first we have to tell people that all these things we are benefiting now, and we are saying that, this is all in harmony with nature, all these things. When you align yourself in harmony with nature, you are suddenly becoming happy. And also then we have to tell them that these are coming from the Vedas and the Vedas are coming from God. That is one big leap of faith that we needed. Now people will ask, how do we know that the Vedas are coming from God, Maybe, they may not be coming from God. They may be written by some sages and saints. And then you should talk about things which he talked. To prove that a common man cannot write such things that are mentioned in the Vedas. Vedas talk of things that are impossible to human perception. For example, who can say? There are things which cannot be perceived by ordinary human beings, which are mentioned in the Vedas, which are true. One example you can give? Sanskriti is true. We accept because they are said in the Vedas. But then, based on science, you cannot prove them exactly like that. Yeah? Trees are having life, plants are having life. Man never knew that. Now man has found out. But searching so said long ago, that plants had life, Bhugol. Man could not find and man is coming to know now. That is said. Embryology, that's a perfect example. See, how can we know what is going on in the mother's womb? Can anybody know? See, if we say that modern man is more advanced, they have sophisticated instruments. Now man is putting instruments inside, that is endoscopy and all. Can put inside instruments and see what's happening inside the stomach. So many things you can do now. But in the Vedic times, how did they find out? How did the sages know while writing this Bhagavatam or something? Actually, the information is so precise. It says, the child is like a plum. It says, Reta Kanashraya. And the word Reta Kanashraya is used, which means, Reta means already a particle. Kana means one more. Which means it's a particle of a particle. So scientists also have found out that it's a particle of a particle. So the words are used so precisely. Everything, if you see the development of a child, when the face is developing, when the hands are developing, when the legs are developing, when the heart is developing for the child, and when the consciousness comes, all those things are said. So now, after putting the foundation of, and now we are, with great struggle and advancement, we are finding them out. Such things we can say, like human embryology. The purity of Ganges water, yeah.
You can tell about Adidevik, Adibhautik and Adyatmik.
Kleshas. Sufferings, yeah. Yes, the Vedas talk about that. That means the Vedas are talking from a global viewpoint. Many, many things. One more thing which we didn't say is psychology from the Vedas. Which is important, we didn't say about that. So psychology, Vedas are talking about man's psychology, woman's psychology, children's psychology, and the different natures of people in the four classes, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, that we can clearly see. I was telling in one of the lectures how in the modern times we have these four classes even in companies. You know, how are they? Who are the Brahmana class? R&D. R&D department. Research and development. Who are the Kshatriya class? Administrative department. Who are the Vaishya class? Finance. Yeah. And who are the Shudra class? Laborers. So even in a modern company we have these categories, which the Vedas are talking about. Although the modern man foolishly thought that, you know, this Brahmana Kshatriya should be abolished. You know, we want to make a classless society. Now he himself is adapting to the classes. You can see that. Easily.
The previously actually Vedas are not coming from God, but they are from Rishi Munis, because they were very highly advanced, they were knowing.
Some Rishis are called Srikala Jnani, you know. They certainly knew many things, yes. Even actually Vedas are coming from Vedavyas only. We can tell people, yes. Vedavyas only wrote Vedas. It is said that.
But
Vedavyas is a literary incarnation of God. It is said in the Vedas. He is an incarnation of Vishnu. Vedavyas is actually Vishnu. One incarnation of Vishnu. Like that. So I feel in this connection, we don't have to give so much of emphasis and stress in trying to convince people and prove to people that the Vedas came from God. Sometimes in that effort you find so much time goes. In that. So at least you can convince them to this extent, that earlier you said certain things, now you say things which are of a more lofty nature, you know, which ordinary human beings cannot perceive. You know, they cannot, like human embryology, you know. And many of the truths said in the Vedas. Yeah.
About rejecting, how the modern man, they have rejected all these Vedas and all these primitive ideas, but still they are prospering. So, why to accept?
What is it?
Why to accept?
Accept which?
They have rejected, but still the country is prospering, the economic condition is prospering.
That he also asked. We will come to that question. So, I am trying to develop the subject now. After putting foundation, you tell things that the Vedas are actually, you know, ultimately the word of God, because otherwise, you know, they cannot talk of such things which we cannot perceive, you know, which we are perceiving after so many millions of years, you know. And that too not completely, we are trying to understand. There are millions of things which you don't know in this world, which Vedas are talking about. And slowly, slowly, we are unraveling the truth, you can say. So, after establishing that, you know, some faith comes in people's heart. Yeah, what is he saying, making some sense? Then we have to immediately come to the point, which is happiness point. It is very, very important. The Vedas teach us how to become happy. One time somebody asked Prabhupada, why have you come here to London? I have come to give you what you have forgotten, you know, Prabhupada said. Or I have come to teach you what you do not know. Something like that. Or Prabhupada would say, you know, somebody would ask me, what do the Vedas teach? And Prabhupada said, Vedas teach you how to become happy. Yeah. A very simple answer. how to become happy. This is one answer which everyone will like in this world. If you tell them, Vedas teach us how to become happy. Very simple. And it is true also. To say it in another way, you can say the Vedas teach us how to get out of suffering. Now you see, when you talk of cycle of birth and death, you know, that becomes a very lofty concept. You know, that is like trying to get people to, you know, another planet, you know, which is very difficult for them. You should tell simple things which people can relate with. What will you tell them? Like if you want to tell them that, you know, Vedas, how will you convince people to take to Vedas? By saying something very simple.
Then whatever they are using is scientific advancement. Even they have so many facilities, everything, but still they are suffering.
Yeah.
Even they are not satisfied, they are committing suicides.
So for that you have to give them examples. Like for example, like, you have to say, you know, modern man is like, you know, modern, and actually you have to glorify first. You have to say that we see, you know, in the modern world we have countries like America and Japan. They have made so much of advancement. You can say now they have the finest of the cars. They have the best of the jet planes. And when you say, they will smile, very good, yes, all this is there. We have created a wonderful world. You know, they will be thinking, you know, we have best of the communication systems, you know. We have mobiles and emails and whatnot, you know. Best of the computers, you know. And we have fast cars, you know. And we have broad roads and we have, you know, cars which fly at 250 kilometers per hour, you know, like that. So you say that man has created so many things. You know. And then what you should say, after creating all this, still we find countries like America, they don't seem to be happy. Then you have to give some evidences for that. What evidence will you give? Yeah. Suicide rate. America is number one in suicide rate. Is it a sign of a happy country? Divorce. Divorce, a little more precisely, simple information. You know, 75% of the marriages end in divorce in the first 3 years of the marriage. Yeah. Psychological problems. Yeah.
We have done all scientific development for to save time.
Yeah.
But still we don't have time.
Yeah. Actually, Americans say they have time. Americans say that many of the computer company boys, you know, they go morning, 9, evening, 5 o'clock, they are out. 9 to 5 you can work and then you have free time. But then how do they use the free time is very important. You know, they go to the pubs, they go to the bars, they go to the brothels, you know, they go for naked dances and they take to drugs, you know, and they become hippies. You know. Prabhupada said, what is your American advancement you have made? Your country has turned all of you into hippies. What advancement have you made? Prabhupada asked. But I have come here to make hippies into happies. That makes sense, yeah. So we have to prove to them that, like sleeping pills people take in the night to sleep. And it's a very normal thing in America. And take sleeping pill is like, you know, just like taking some fruits we take. People normally take sleeping pills very easily, yeah. It's very common. Crime rate increasing, yeah. Child crime, that's very important, yeah. You can see that, is there advancement in a country, children taking guns and shooting the other people in the schools, teachers and students, mobile for no reason. Many of the scientific advancement have inherent problems, that people are getting diseases because of using electronic gadgets like mobile, it has radioactive substance, it causes a problem. Pollution, yeah, air pollution, noise pollution, water pollution. So there are many things, probably we could quote 3 or 4 prominent things and say that we say man has progressed. Maybe man has progressed, he has got a lot of things to possess, but he has not become happier. We have to decently say it. We should not become unnecessarily angry with people. You know, if you unnecessarily lose your temper, then they will think that, you know, you are wrong. So when you tell this, you can say that man has progressed a lot in all these facilities. But modern man is admitting that, yes. See, you can ask a question to people. What is the purpose of economic development and technological advancement? What is the purpose? What is the purpose behind? To make life better. That's what they will say. Let us make our life better and easier. This is the purpose of economic development. But ask this question, have we made our lives better and easier? Has the technological advancement made the life better and easier? And better and easier for a happy life, right? But now we find that modern man, after inventing all these things, now he's finding all the problems that are inherent. Like the cities are becoming like concrete jungles with no fresh air to breathe. And everyone has to buy a Bisleri bottle, otherwise waters are contaminated with effluents coming out of the companies. Like that. Contaminated waters, yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, if you are happy, you will be happy, you can tell now. This is for people who want to think deeper, yeah.
We can tell them you are happy now, and you will be always happy, you said.
Yeah.
You will be ever happy.
Yeah.
You are happy now, you will be ever happy.
We can say like that. Also, if you want to defeat them, you could say that, you know, the modern luxuries, they are like a painkiller for a person who is about to die out of cancer. Like somebody is going to die tomorrow out of cancer and he's feeling intense pain. The doctor gives that medicine. What is the medicine they give? One special medicine. Morphine, they call it, yeah. And when you give morphine, you feel that the pain is gone. And the man says, "Doctor, thank you very much. You have cured me now. I'm going back to get back to my job now." You know. And the doctor says, "Where are you going?" This man says, "Now my disease is gone now. I'll go and take up my job again." Doctor says, "You fool. Better lie in the bed. I have suppressed your pain by morphine, but you are going to die tomorrow. Better you wind up your life." So morphine actually suppresses the pain. Similarly, the modern electronic gadgets and facilities, they make you feel that life is very smooth and comfortable like that. But then underlying sufferings are what? The old age, the disease and the death, they all are inevitable problems which are underlying. They are in the core. They don't actually talk about those problems. Also you can say things like, you know, you want to get rid of old age, you have white hair, so you can put a hair dye. That doesn't, you know, serve the purpose. Simple examples you can say like that. That is the next topic will come. You have to come. Like, you know, after you say that we are suffering more and more, so we all want to become, then you can ask the question. So while living in such a world which is now becoming more and more a place of suffering, already there is suffering in the world and we are multiplying the suffering by making the, you know, so-called economic development in the modern time. You can see that they are making the life more place of suffering like that. So then we can ask the question, you know, who wants to become happy in life? Is there any one of you who does not want to become happy? And everyone will say we want to become happy. Then we can say, to try to become happy is the goal of both Vedas and science. That is the truth. Scientists are trying to become happy, Vedas are also telling you how to become happy. But what is the difference? Like we have a fan to avoid sweating. We have a grinder to avoid the pain of grinding and everything. But the science goes to some extent and then it stops, beyond which science is unable to help us. We find that, you know, sometimes despite all medicines a person dies, isn't it? Despite all medicines a person gets old. Sometimes despite all medicines a person continues to get diseases, is unable to stop. So that's where the Vedas come. The Vedas, they are telling us also how to become happy in life. So we are suffering and we want to get out of suffering. And the first question is, why are we suffering in the first place? That nobody asks. People, without asking this question, you are trying to, you know. Then you can give the example of how, you know, that boil example, you know. Boil keeps recurring in the body repeatedly. Again and again it keeps coming. But you have to find out the source of that boil. Where is it coming from? So here lies actually the core of the Vedic wisdom. That Vedas address to the root cause of all problems. There we have to introduce this point which is saying now. That we have to say we are suffering in this world because we are acting against God and against nature. This is the harmony with God. But what are we doing? We are going off. We are not in harmony with God or harmony with nature. We are going sidetracking. We are going in some other wrong track. So then what is the meaning of living in harmony with God or with nature? Then you have to come to the point of the Vedas. The Vedas tell us what is right and what is wrong. What is to be done and what is not to be done. And we are owing to our enjoying mentality to exploit the nature. So that is the reason why we are suffering. And you have to give some examples. What example you will give? That we are trying to exploit nature and enjoy. Yeah. Mad cow disease. Milk example I can give. Blood also is coming along with it, yeah. We are using fertilizer to take out more grains from the earth, and then we find inevitably, you know, that the earth doesn't give any more after that. So I can give some examples for that. So we can conclude the lecture saying that, see, we have to align our lives in harmony with Vedas and and in harmony with God and nature. Anybody will accept this statement. Aligning our life with God and nature. See, God is the embodiment of all love. And if we want to experience love and give love and accept love from everyone in the world, and we want peace and prosperity in the world, then we have to connect ourselves with God, who is the source of all love. Either you can speak. And we are, if you want, if people are very faithful people, then we could add things like, we all are children of God, and God is the Supreme Father. To love Him and serve Him is very natural for us. And the best way to, you know, serve Him is to evoke His name. In all religions there is holy name, like you can't do that. Any religion, we don't tell you to follow our religion. You can follow any religion. The ultimate religion is love. Like that you can conclude. So, you know, the questions, if you see, if Vedas are relevant, where do we find the Vedic type of cloning and weapons? Vedas give knowledge, and if you cannot use it today, then how is it relevant? It doesn't seem practical. You know, that was one of the questions asked. So why that person felt like that? Because if you are trying to demand the surrender of the people without giving them sufficient evidences, you know, then they won't surrender. It will beg a question like this, surely. It will beg a response from the audience like this. You know, when you try to, like, you know, you say the Vedas, you know, Vedas are here, they are word of God, you know, and they are telling us, you know, how to go beyond cycle of birth and death, you know, which is a very, very tough thing to understand. And say, you must surrender. That's too much a demand. So you have to give them some evidence to show that modern man is tending towards Vedas, and he badly needs the Vedas for many, many things. And also when you say we are not pure, no, and we don't have Sanskrit knowledge, this is the same old I was telling in the last class also. Hey, you are not pure, you cannot say this, you know, and you don't have Sanskrit knowledge, you know. Then they will ask, see, if I am not pure, anyway, I am not going to become pure because I am living in a horrible world now, no, which is totally impure, you know. And Sanskrit is too much for me to learn because I am living in city, I am busy with my job and all. Then that means, then I cannot refer the Vedas, nor do I feel the importance at all. You understand, no? I don't feel the importance of why should I refer the Vedas by taking trouble to learn Sanskrit and taking trouble to become pure. So better I go with my regular schedule. So you are actually patting them on the back and saying that go ahead with your normal life. That means you are defeating your purpose. You understand, no? You appreciate the point. So often devotees do this mistake, I've seen in their preaching. Whenever people ask, you know, you say Vedas, they use this weapon, that weapon, or why we can't use today, you know, then they say, you are not pure. Okay, I am not pure, so Vedas, let them keep it for the Vedic time, and now I will go ahead with my way. So we should not defeat our own purpose when we talk. So that is the reason I was telling, when you talk about things like, you know, weapons were used and, you know, so many other things and all, that is all right. People immediately will ask, you know, how is it relevant to me today? You know, how can I use it? That is why I was showing some other things to you in the beginning, some 10, 12 things. And you can tell them that there are many things that are relevant to you. Don't think they are not relevant. There are many, many valuable things we are taking from the Vedas. You can even tell them, now the modern scientists are trying to study the Vedic sutras of alchemy. 16 sutras are there. Now they say they have found out to 14 or 15 sutras. How to do that? Only the last two sutras are missing. You know, if they complete that, then they can convert software and core into software and piece into gold. So there are many, many things like that. So modern man needs the Vedic knowledge and is trying to, you know, salvage some understanding from the Vedas. And there are many things that are operative already, like the Ayurvedic toothpaste, and they have already found out the formula from the Vedas. How will they ask you? That is, you don't have to go. You can tell other things like that. That is the second level of faith I told you. First is the foundation. See, foundational thing, you should tell them down to earth things like that. And by the time they already developed faith, you know. After you develop that faith, then you tell about cloning and other things. Then you, if you tell them, see, cloning and all was done in those times, and he gave a very good answer to that. He said that Matapulkar explains in his, I have the article right now with me, if any of you want to see, you can see. I was just referring to it some time ago. He is saying that in that article, that the Vedic time people are so advanced that they could actually make a test tube child outside the womb of the mother. Even modern man till now cannot make a child outside the womb. The test tube baby, they say, it's not a test tube baby. It's not done in a test tube, it's done in the womb of the mother. In the test tube, you know what they do? They just mixing of the ovum and the, you know, sperm they do, and they put it in the mother's womb. But in Vedic times they could do a test tube baby outside. It was their point. Good point was. And he also says, you know, you know, putting some pieces of flesh in ghee and chanting some mantra, you know, to make them children. Not a easy job. Now if he tells you, after giving the foundational faith to you, if he tells you, see, they had the Vedic mantra. Like Arjuna is using bow and arrow. But it's not an ordinary bow and arrow, you know. He's investing some mantra in the arrow. And any mantra he invests, you know, the trajectory or the direction of the path of the arrow will depend on what mantra he invests. One mantra he invests, then he sends it, then it goes and puts holes in every leaf of the tree. Another mantra he invests, you know, like that it keeps emanating fire while going, you know. Another mantra he chants, you know, then it emanates water, like that. So, in order for people to develop faith in such kind of things, you have to first give them a foundational faith. We can say, in fact, many of the nuclear fuels that were used, they say even in Mahabharata, nuclear fuels were used. There is some evidence, scientific evidence is there for that. So they say that the nuclear fuels we know now, how we are using. In Mahabharata, if you refer, now they are trying to, NASA, I heard that they are trying to find out, dig out more and more information from the Vedas, whether any of the things can be directly adopted in modern times. They are searching certainly, and they are coming up with many interesting things. Yeah. Like the kind of metals that were used in the Vedic times. Like now they want for planes, the high strength to weight ratio, they call it, metals, you know. Strength to weight ratio means the strength should be very high, but the weight should be low, because you want to use it in aeroplanes. So they are going back to metallurgy in the Vedas, you know. And the Vedas are giving many compositions, this much percentage copper, this much percentage, you know, things like that. And they are making metals, and they find that these are the best metals they are finding. So like you said, the point of technology. They are using, some things are, it's not that nothing can be used now. Some things can be used from that. Yeah. Another question is a simple question. Why use scientific equipment? All of you know now. You have heard many times answers for that. And as far as the Vedas are narrow-minded question is concerned, we have so many things to say about how the Vedas are not narrow-minded. You can say, when the Vedas say don't cross the seas, there is a reason for that. Do you know why? Why? And the Pulinda, Pulakasha, they are all living there. And the Vedic followers wanted to live a very pure life, and by crossing the ocean, one may become polluted. So they give a warning. But Vaishnavas are very merciful. They are ready to go to the polluted zones and purify the people, no? And purify the whole atmosphere. You can say like that. And also we should know Vedic injunctions, you know, they say certain things that according to certain time, place, circumstance, which are adjustable. Like for example, why the Vedas say Brahmana should not go out of, you know, this place to cross the oceans. But Vaishnava is more compassionate. He is allowed to go, you know. So we have to know, the Vedas make conditional statements many times, according to certain time, place, circumstance. And if you say, you know, Vedas are narrow-minded in dealing with, you know, Shudras, Kshatriyas, and we can say in the modern times also we have the four classes, we can say. And if you say, the Vedas are so broad-minded that, you know, they allow, although the Vedic mantras are to be chanted by only a twice-born Brahmana. But there is also a section of the Vedas like the Puranas, which teach Vaishnavas that the knowledge is available for one and all. To reach God is not the prerogative of only the Brahmins. Everyone can reach God, but simply by chanting. So Vedas are offering this knowledge to everyone. So like that you can say many things. Anyway, today evening the topic is same in the IVF meeting. We are going to have three groups, you know. One group will be sitting here.